The Ric Flair Show.
My name's Ric Flair.
Woo! Woo! To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo! Right here. I'm the man.
The 16-time world champion.
Woo! Back behind the mic and telling it like it is.
Woo!
If you're not carrying the big gold, you're second best no matter what you tell yourself.
I'm the best.
Y'all playing catch up ball. To the Nature Boy.
And now, your hosts of the Ric Flair Show, Ric Flair and Conrad Thompson.
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Nature Boy Ric Flair here, host of the Ric Flair Show, along with the living legend. And I mean, after my travels the past 10 days, a living legend, Conrad Thompson. Entrepreneur, owner of the Conradison, and now a quieter man for personal reasons, which we cannot discuss on the air right now. Conrad, how are you, and happy holidays?
Well, I'm quieter, like you said, but I'm happy to be here, and Ask Nate is always our most fun show and our easily our most requested show, and we're doing it again today. And you fans and listeners out there got to ask Ric Flair anything you wanted. Just use the hashtag AskNate. But before we get to that, let's get into this week's Figure Four Top Stories, brought to you by Indochino.com. This week, our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389. All you need to do is use promo code Flair at checkout. Now, that's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit with free shipping. Ric Flair's always said he was custom made from head to toe, and now you can be too at Indochino.com. Just use promo code Flair.
And by the way, I need a new one by Monday for Raw.
He's going to Indochino.com, and you should too. Use promo code Flair. It'll be just $389, and you get free shipping. All right, let's get into it, Ric. This past week, top story number one, the Nature Boy was on Monday Night Raw. Charlotte came back and accepted Sasha Banks' challenge for the Iron Man match in Pittsburgh later this month. And then she closed the show by slapping the Nature Boy and attacking Sasha. Say it's not so, Ric.
Well, I can't talk for you. You can tell my jaw's wired. So, you know, that's the downside to it. No, actually, it was... I'm happy for her. I'm sad for our relationship. But that's...
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Maybe we can start to sort some things out in her professional life in Pittsburgh, and then maybe things can be right within the family. But in the meantime,
well, I'm confident that she'll regain the title. And I will say this: she and Sasha right now are the hottest item in professional wrestling. Male or female. It's the hottest feud that I've seen in a long time. And God bless both of them. They deserve the recognition. They certainly put in the work. And I'm just glad Sasha got beat up as bad as me.
Yeah, Charlotte was spreading the carnage around. Earlier in the night, though, we got to see the Nature Boy exit a limousine, as only you can do, and have a little interaction with Enzo. I don't know that we've talked about him much on the show. What do you think of Enzo?
Certified G.
There you go.
I should be managing that kid.
I think half the roster should have you or he as a manager. I think that would get over for sure. Let's get on over to top story number two. WWE TLC happened over the weekend, and we have some new champions, Ric. What did you think of Alexa Bliss beating Becky Lynch?
Well, she's a very accomplished... I didn't see the match, but I talked to people that were there and said she's become a really good performer. So, you know, you're not going to win all of them, as we know. And I'm sure Becky's got it in her to come back around and try and get it back. But I've heard that Alexa's become a very, very good performer, so my hat's off to her. I don't know her that well, but I know how hard they worked to get there. The team I really liked was Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton.
Yeah, well, what do you think about that, them as tag team champions? Where do you think that situation goes?
Well, I think it's something that people didn't expect to see happen. I think it's refreshing. I think it's new. You know, I think Bray is a phenomenal talent. I think Randy's, you know, one of the top two performers in the business. So it's great for business. It's great for them. And they definitely are the best tag team in the business right now.
Did you have a chance to see AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose match in the main event?
I did not.
It's phenomenal. If you're listening and you haven't seen it,
AJ retained, right?
Yes, sir, he did. It was a phenomenal match.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. I mean, both of them are fearless. AJ, probably one of the greatest technical wrestlers of all time. And Dean, the all-time brawler. So those are the kind of matches that appeal to people.
Well, number three appeals to all of us. Mean Gene Okerlund, Sting, and Daniel Bryan all went into the Observer Hall of Fame last week. Do you think these guys deserve the honor of being in the Hall of Fame? And in your opinion, what does the Observer Hall of Fame mean in the business from your perspective?
You're talking about Dave's?
Yeah, Dave Meltzer. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, first of all, Mean Gene, for sure. Who were the other two?
Sting and Daniel Bryan.
Yes, for sure. You know, Sting has been a huge part of the industry. He laid low for a long time, but when he came back, he made a huge impact to the company. He's in the Hall of Fame. Daniel Bryan, I just know a little bit, but is really a good guy. His career obviously came to a tragic halt due to the concussion protocol, but great guy, so I'm happy for all of them.
I think everybody is. All these guys deserve that designation and the Observer Hall of Fame.
I think Dave looks at it very seriously. He looks at their accomplishments. And, you know, Dave's had the Observer out there for a long time. So I think it's a very nice achievement for all of them.
Let's go to top story number four. Steve Carino.
Mean, by God, Gene.
Everybody loves when you do that. Steve Carino.
I had a hard time keeping him off winning in the old days, man. Woo.
I feel like that should be one of our Ask Nate questions right there. Before we get there, though.
About Wendy?
Yeah, why not?
I'll tell all.
Steve Carino, the former ECW World Champion and most recently of Ring of Honor, is officially now headed to the WWE Performance Center where he will assume a coaching position. Do you know Steve Carino, Rick? And what do you think of this decision?
I have met him, yeah. I think it should be a good move. I had a chance to watch Ring of Honor for a couple of minutes the other night. I think it's a good choice for him to move on.
You didn't enjoy Final Battle? I didn't know you were watching. How did you see some of Final Battle?
Because I saw the devil running around.
Oh, there you go.
And I couldn't stop watching. I didn't even know he was on the show. What was his wrestling name with us? God, I love him. I'm talking about Kevin Sullivan.
Right.
What was his name with us?
The Taskmaster?
Taskmaster, yeah. He was out there with the black cross on his forehead giving commands. I was dying. He's the best.
They had their big pay-per-view each year. It's called Final Battle. It was over the weekend from the Hammerstein Ballroom, and at the tapings later that weekend, Carino said goodbye to all his brothers there at Ring of Honor, and now he's headed to the Performance Center, a very well-respected guy. I'm sure he'll do great in his coaching position.
Oh, I'm sure he will, too.
Well, let's get to what everybody's really here for. It's hashtag Ask Nate. We've got a lot of questions to get to with the Nature Boy. Stay tuned for more Ric Flair Show on the other side. All right, this week's episode of the Ric Flair Show is brought to you, our friends, at Omaha Steaks. And, Ric, this is the perfect gift for the holiday season. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. And I are actually sending that gift to several of our friends.
It's the perfect gift.
Omaha Steaks is the greatest giving going.
It really is. It's the perfect gift because you get to avoid the malls, all the lines, all the crowd, and then you give a great experience at home. And these are flavorful, tender, aged beef. They've even got seafood, poultry, pork, veal, lamb, whatever you need. And they've got more than 500 different gift ideas. But what we want you to know is the perfect gift is the Ric Flair Pack. And for only $49.99, You can get his family gift pack. Just go to omahasteaks.com and enter the promo code FLAIR in the search bar. Now, when you enter that promo code FLAIR, you're going to save 77% off. Let's run through what all you're going to get. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, a 12-ounce package of the all-beef meatballs, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, and of course, the Omaha Steak seasoning packet. But best of all, right now, you get an additional 4 kielbasa sausages for free. You get all of this stuff for less than 50 bucks. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the promo code FLAIR in the search bar. It's going to get you the FLAIR family gift pack, and it's over 77% off. Why wouldn't you do this? It's guaranteed to be the best gift you can give this year. omahasteaks.com, and what promo code do they put in the search bar, Rick?
FLAIR.
omahasteaks.com. All right, now let's take a break and tell everybody how they, too, can be custom-made from head to toe. As long as I've been watching you, Rick, it seems like this has been one of your catchphrases. When did you first start saying you were custom-made from head to toe?
I think around 1978 when I started really paying attention and spending money on my wardrobe.
And here's the reason you were custom-made. I mean, tell everybody about this. A made-to-measure suit does not compare to some generic off-the-rack suit. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep. There's nothing compared to a custom-made suit.
And
all the alterations in the world on another suit will never make it like a custom-made suit.
And now, more Ric Flair.
Okay, Rick, let's get into it. Hashtag Ask Nate is the format this week. We're freestyling a little bit. We're not going to do the traditional guest. We've done this a few times, and it's been well-received every time. You get to ask Ric Flair anything you want. All you've got to do is go ahead and tag it on Twitter using hashtag AskNate. Nate, let's get into it. Our first question comes from KFranNC. Did you ever want to be anything besides a wrestler?
Yeah, believe it or not, at one time I wanted to be a dentist.
Really?
Yeah.
I would not have guessed that. Why did you want to be a dentist? That doesn't seem like...
I don't know. I just something that caught my... You know, my dad was a doctor, and I had to have braces and all the stuff that everybody else goes through. I just thought it was an interesting profession, you know. Obviously, I didn't have the academic... that career choice changed after my first advanced chemistry class.
I love it.
I had a hard time in my own chemistry set I got for Christmas. Much less something in school.
Jeff on Twitter asks, where and when did you start saying woo, and what are its origins?
I started saying woo in 1974 after I heard Jerry Lewis say, "Reckoning to gracious great balls of fire, woo." Not exactly the way I do it, but it was enough to get me motivated to start saying it. And they showed Jerry Lee in my DVD.
Absolutely.
He used to come to the matches all the time.
Frank on Twitter wants to know, what's the most crazy thing that ever happened out with a night with the boys?
Wow, that could be 3 whole podcasts.
Just pick which one night? Crazy story for us.
One easy story, let me think. Let me see. One crazy night out with the boys. I guess a crazy night out with the boys for us, which was a regular occasion. It was my birthday. We were at the Helmsley Palace in New York. And Dusty arranged, as a birthday present to me, to get us into the Lone Star Cafe where Chuck Berry, who was my favorite, was playing. And I said, Nelly, Bill Murray, and Dan Aykroyd, all of them smoking marijuana. And there were 3 kids next to us, and I gave them $1,000 to have their chairs. Me and the Dream and Mike Hegstrand sat there with Aykroyd, Bill Murray, and Liza Minnelli watching Chuck Berry at the Lone Star Cafe.
Well, that's going to be a hard story to beat.
Yeah, I've got a lot more, but I mean, that's one that we can tell.
Sure. Dave on Twitter wants to know, are there any celebrity or sports stars that you were anxious to meet but were disappointed when you did?
That I was anxious to meet and disappointed when I did?
Yeah.
The only guy that I've met that I was disappointed was Magic Johnson.
Really? Why is that?
He just acted like he barely knew me.
I see.
Which is fine. That was his prerogative. Otherwise, but when I think about the fact that I had drinks with Will Chamberlain in Honolulu, then I think to myself, Magic Johnson, but I mean, let's get serious. Been out with Joe Namath, Jim Kelly, Lawrence Taylor, Charles Barkley, speaking of basketball. I mean, Magic pales in comparison, in my opinion. Great player, but, you know, that was just my impression. I'm sure he's a wonderful guy, but he wasn't wonderful to me, so I don't go out of my way to side him.
It is what it is.
I will tell you, he was a great guy, and I mean a really great guy, is Dr. J.
That's great to hear. I know a lot of Dr. J fans.
Nobody bigger than him ever.
Next question here on Twitter. Wrestlers say that the crowd pop is one of the best feelings in the world. Where and when was one of your favorites and why?
Well, say it again now.
What's your favorite pop that you got? Is there one time when you walked out in the crowd and you still remember it?
You're talking about in the bar or in the arena?
In the arena.
Oh, I can't narrow it down to one.
All right.
I guess it would be Starrcade 83 in Greensboro, coming out to wrestle Harley. Would be pretty tough to beat that one.
Hard.
But also the time I came back in Greenville, South Carolina with Bischoff and the Horsemen and everybody all dressed up in tuxedos. That was pretty awesome too.
We've covered both of those this year on This Week in History, both big moments in your career. David Hicks on Twitter asks, and I know the answer to this one, what's your favorite restaurant to eat at in Charlotte?
In Charlotte, Del Frisco's.
There you go. I know what you were about to say, though. You almost answered Baltimore. Go ahead and give that one, too.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Sabatino's in Baltimore. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I actually like the Del Frisco's in Boston. There's so many great restaurants throughout the country. Tomorrow night, I will be at Gibson's in downtown Chicago, which is my favorite restaurant anywhere in the world.
That's the one I was at with you, right?
Gibson's, you were Gibson's, I was in the airport version.
Yeah. I was going to say, I didn't think that was your all-time favorite. That was a suburb, though.
Yeah, that's out, you were out of Rosemont. This is the one, the original one downtown, and is the greatest steakhouse in the country.
Cam Burnett.
I'll give you an idea of what kind of business they do. The same bartenders that are there, that have been there since they opened in 1989, and those guys do between $2,500 and $3,000 a week in tips.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, easy. Easy.
Well.
That tells you what kind of money they spend in that place.
So check it out. Gibson's, downtown Chicago. Sounds like the place to be. Yep. Cam Burnett, longtime listener, asks on Twitter, what does Rick think of having women participate in the Royal Rumble with the men? This has only happened a few times. I know Beth Phoenix has been in there. Chyna's been in there. Can you see a scenario where they would recreate this again and give the women a shot?
No, and I hope it doesn't happen. Do I think it's possible? I just don't like it.
Scott Middleton on Twitter asks, if David Von Erich would have lived, how long and how many title reigns do you think he would have had as NWA champion?
He would have had a couple for sure. He's a very popular guy, and David was a very good performer. I'm sure he would have had it a couple times.
Here's something that we never really talked about before here on the show from Hernandez on Twitter as at Buckaroo 001. Do you think if the WWF would have had Flair versus Hogan for WrestleMania 8, that it could have killed WCW's momentum a couple years later when they signed Hulk Hogan?
I don't think so. I mean, I think Hulk was such a commodity at that time, and if they had it, I certainly wouldn't have won. So, if I can't beat Randy, I can't beat him.
I love it.
God rest Randy's soul. Those two guys I put over more than any two guys in the business. Are you kidding me?
Steve Tardif on Twitter wants to know, Rick, why didn't you want to lose the world title to Lex Luger? I know you had problems with Jim Herd, but didn't Luger earn it? I assume he's talking about 1991 Great American Bash.
It had nothing to do with Lex Luger. I wasn't going to lose it on a pay-per-view. And I offered to drive to Columbus to drop it to Barry. The match started beforehand. It had nothing to do with Lex Luger at all. It was all about Jim Herd lying eyes. He couldn't tell the truth. He thought he could just tell me to F off. And I said, I don't think so, buddy. You owe me 40 grand. All he had to do was give me 40 grand. Give me 40 grand, I'd have been in Baltimore, dropped the title, and left the next day. Losing the title, people should know, didn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly did it your fair share of times.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Jesus. I'm 16 and 3,822.
I love
it. That was probably more like 9,000 now.
Yeah, it probably is more than 3,000 for sure.
Yeah.
The DJ Tiny on Twitter wants to know, what would you say is the best luxury car to go naching in?
Luxury car to go naching in?
Yep.
God. Well, I used to like limos. Now I'm an SUV guy. The tricked out SUVs with all the TVs and all that. To go naching in, well, you have to have a driver to nature. So it would be some type of limousine. Actually, I like the when they take the SUVs and make them into limousines. They're bigger, more comfortable. You know, it's hard to do things with a little tiny seat pressed against the wall. You know what I mean?
To get
an H, you got to have room. And they got to have a sunroof on them where I can stand up and be seen.
Oh my God!
As a matter of fact, I was in a Mercedes. Bill Watch rented me a Mercedes limousine in New Orleans the night I wrestled Kerry Von Erich in the Superdome, and I was at the Opera House drinking, and I had so much fun that I fell out of. I was up in the window, hanging out of the window, and I fell out backward, drove it, and broke the antenna off the car. Oh, God. Who knows?
Good times.
Yeah, good times.
We have a great question here we've never asked before. Matthew Golden on Twitter wants to know, when and how did the flare flop originate?
Well, first of all, it's called the Gordon. Bobby Heenan calls it the Gordon, after Gordon Solie. I got a little bit of it from Johnny Valentine, and I just did it one day, and the guy had a big reaction. I just made it part of my regular routine. And the more they liked it, the more I did it. So, actually, as my skills declined, I used it more.
I'm curious, why was it called the Gordon? I mean, I know who Gordon Solie is, but did Gordon...
Because Gordon could drink a quart of Kettle One in an hour flight. You gotta be kidding me.
And then would he flop in the airport?
No, he wouldn't flop, but it was just called the Gordon.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Gordon, like myself, when I don't have anything to do, will have a martini at 10 a.m.
He likes to
Not
party.
A martini, but a beverage. Oh, yeah. Gordon Solie was the best.
Ray Johnson on Twitter wants to know, what was going on in the NWA in 1988 to make Arn, Tully, Dusty, Garvin, and others jump to the WWF?
Oh, it was all the stuff with Jim Herd. All the stuff with Jim Herd and Ole Anderson, and, you know, it was just a bad time.
Mark on Twitter wants to know, have you read Roddy Piper's book?
I have not.
His family just put out a book too that we will certainly promote on an upcoming show. Stay tuned for more details on that. We may even have Colt on the show sometime to talk about it. We love all things Roddy Piper.
I just talked to him over Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Jake Long wants to know, and I think we've talked about this before, but maybe you want to share a few extra details. I think now is the perfect time to finally hear about the plane ride from hell.
I'm not allowed to talk about it. They asked me about it on the Dan Levitard show. I'm signed off.
Some details are out there. Well, there's lots of rumors and innuendo, as Bruce Pritchard likes to say, but Rick is no longer talking about that. So let's go to
Tony. Well, you can ask me. I'll answer if I can.
Yeah. The thing I want to ask, we won't ask on air. Tony Barker wants to know, what is the strangest and most memorable gift a fan has ever given you when they met you?
A memorable gift?
Like, has anybody ever given you, I mean, there's all these stories out there, fans, you know, in autograph lines, giving a gift to the superstar.
I'll tell you something, I've gotten a lot of nice gifts. A lot of them have been artwork, paintings of me and stuff like that. But this very weekend, which I forgot to tell you, the guy that makes all the belts for the UFC and the company now brought me the most beautiful NWA replica belt I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
And it's got to weigh 50 pounds. And I mean, he just, all he wanted was a picture. And I think they retail for $700.
That's very cool.
You'll die when you see it. It's so nice. As a matter of fact, you'll want one. The first thing I said to Wendy was, Conrad, I want one of these. it's really nice.
Well, there you go. I have a timely question. Les Freeman on Twitter wants to know, you do the best chop in the business, but who has given you the best or most painful chop in return?
Waldo McDaniels.
There you go.
Yeah, Ronnie Garvin was, but Ronnie wasn't as strong as Wahoo. Jesus.
I don't know that we were on the air. I don't remember, but recently you described Wahoo McDaniel's hands as a sandwich. Do you remember what you called it?
No, I said it was, it's as thick as, I meant to say, it'd be as thick as like a, I mean, it's hard to describe how thick his hands were. He was just a big, rugged guy, you know, 6'1", 240 pounds, you know, All-American in high school. He played on Bud Wilkinson's team that was 31-0. I think he still has. You can probably Google that. But up until a couple of years ago, he had the longest punt in the Orange Bowl. Phenomenal athlete. Played with the Jets, the Dolphins, the Broncos. Just a phenomenal guy, but he had a hand on him, like a I mean, bam. It was interesting. You can watch him. You can find footage of Wahoo, and that front hand chop of his was unreal.
Yeah, the line he used was, it was like he had hands as big as a ham sandwich, and I don't know why that cracked me up.
But actually, a ham sandwich doesn't describe it. It's good enough.
Protege.
Like a bone in ribeye.
There you go. Protege on Twitter asks, the most underrated opponent that you would have liked to work with, but they didn't have more star power, so it didn't happen.
The most underrated opponent, well, I did work with him a lot, but I never felt that Ricky Morton got the recognition he deserved.
Yeah.
He was fabulous, and you know Ricky very well.
Great guy. Look at
footage of Ricky, yeah. But I don't think he ever got the recognition that he deserves. I mean, if I'm looking at it in terms of what they did in business, The Rock can only express. So, that's why I look at it.
Who would have been the better NWA champion, the Million Dollar Man, Magnum TA, or David Von Erich?
No, let's go back to DiBiase, because he was my main competition.
Well, that's good to know. Ted DiBiase is the choice. Rob on Twitter wants to know, who will beat Alabama? I can't wait to hear your answer.
Washington, easily.
Oh, my gosh. Listen to this.
And yes, I got you tickets.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I appreciate
that. Yeah, you're set
to go. Shout out to a friend of the show, Mr. Cam. Thanks, Cam. We appreciate
you. Man's got him. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be in Orlando so I won't be able to rejoice with you. But I know you'll be with a close friend of mine, and I know you'll have a great night.
Absolutely.
She will help you get over it.
I love you for that.
Who would you rather lose to, Washington or Ohio State?
You know, it's been so long since Alabama lost, I don't even remember what that feels like.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, I mean, it's 25 times in a row. Maybe it's 25. Yeah.
I know.
Mario on Twitter, we get lots of questions about this, but maybe set the record straight here. In your opinion, what are your three top matches of all time?
That everybody has seen
mm-hmm.
would be the three with Steamboat.
Oh, there you go.
I think I had great matches with Brody, a different kind of match. I think I had great matches with Dusty, Hunter, and Sean. But I was a little bit older when I was wrestling Hunter and Sean. I think my match with Undertaker, who I just saw this past week in Love to Death, in 2004 was pretty good. But you still have to remember I was 54 years old. So I probably wasn't at my peak, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he got a great match out of me, and he gave me a great match. So, and that actually was a big turn for me in terms of getting my self-confidence back.
Dr. Voz on Twitter asks, what were some of your favorite arenas? Are there any facilities that had nicer locker rooms or anything in particular that you liked?
Well, I thought in the Mid-Atlantic area, the arenas were all very nice. Some of them were a little bit close in terms of being, you had to be close to the people back when the fans were a little more hostile than they are now.
Right.
I love Chicago. The Garden's awesome. The Fleet Center in Boston's awesome. Staples in L.A. All the European marinas are phenomenal. I mean, London, Manchester, Glasgow, the European stadiums are beautiful. So it's hard to say. Obviously, I've been in some terrible ones. I don't think you want to make Farmville, Virginia, a place to stop anytime soon. Martinsville, Virginia, probably want to miss that one. The old Rome, Georgia. I've seen some bad ones too, but right now, you know, most every city now has been consciously aware enough to, even if it's a smaller venue, make them nicer. So the guys are in a much better place than when I started.
Richard Easley on Twitter asks, I'm curious to know Rick's thoughts on Harley Race's treatment in the WWE, his gimmick, his placement, his utilization. How do you think the WWF did with Harley Race, Rick?
Well, I know how much they respect him. I'll put it like that. And I think that they gave him his run. You know, he after he lost the title to me, we had a couple of matches. That's when he went up there and he had a nice run. He made him the king and all that. And, you know, I don't think he anticipated anything more. He'll go down in history. And much to my dismay, it's funny you brought this up, they just had to put him in a nursing home last week. Because there's no one to take care of him now. Rose, he was just too much for her to handle by himself. So he told me last time I talked to him, all he wanted to do was make it to one more Mania. And I'm sure they're going to bring him this year. But he said he's in a real tough place physically. And, you know, my heart goes out to him. He's been through so much. But there was no better, no braver, no tougher, and certainly no better, or no more loyal. So,
Turbo,
you would have loved Harley Race.
Yeah, I got to meet him a couple of years ago.
You would have loved Harley Race in the 70s. Conrad, he's your man, brother. ain't no car fast enough. Ain't enough people to punch out. He Yeah, you would have had fun taking him downtown Huntsville.
There you go. Turbo on Twitter wants to know, do wrestlers get to keep the championship belts, or do the companies just store them?
Well, the wrestlers, a couple of them have kept them. I have obviously got to keep the NWA belt, which I sold to the company for their when they make it their Hall of Fame. Right now, it's sits in Hunter's office. He's really proud of the heritage of the business.
Absolutely.
And then I also got to keep the old world belt.
The WCW title. Yeah.
No, the WWF belt.
Yeah.
And I gave that to Hunter as well.
And I think he has that framed at his home.
Yes. And I wrote on a note, I wish I could have dropped this to you in 1986 when I was at my prime. So, he's a great guy.
Ryan on Twitter wants to know, what was your favorite color combination of ring gear to wear?
A blue and red were my two favorite.
Andrew on Twitter.
I like pink, but I couldn't keep my wives from stealing all my stuff. What in particular?
Andrew on Twitter asks, does Rick have any good memories of performing at the Norfolk Scope?
Too many to relay.
There you go.
Got it. So that was a hot crowd, a hot building. I think probably the greatest night there was when I wrestled Jack Mulligan. Had a lot of great matches there, but Jack and I, they turned away more people than they had in the building when we shot that angle. Jack was a huge commodity there, and it became a big baby face. And I think that's my favorite memory there. I had a great match with Luger there, Sting. So many. It was a great venue. But I think the match with Jack Mulligan for the U.S. title back in 78 would be the premier match.
Nick on Twitter says, besides the Black Scorpion, is there a storyline you'd like to erase from your career?
Is there a storyline? Well, I don't know that going to the Florida State Mental Hospital was one of the cooler things I ever did.
You made it work. I'll tell you that. It was still entertaining.
What's that?
You made it work. It was pretty entertaining.
Oh, I can pull off anything. Just to survive. The Black Scorpion was the worst. Anybody that doesn't know that story should have been at the hotel with me afterwards. Good Lord. That's where the Black Scorpion was at.
Not in
the keel.
We had Tony Schiavone on the old Woo Nation show, and he told a phenomenal story that we need to have him back on here to share.
I know.
Boosie Collins asked.
Well, Tony's hiding right now with all the rest of the Bulldogs.
Apologies to all the Bulldog fans out there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Georgia Tech was it.
Just barely. They got it done, though, by one point.
Don't say just barely to Roman, man. Roman thinks it's the greatest thing that happened.
Boosie Collins on Twitter wants to know, how bad was the culture shock when you moved down south in the 70s to wrestle?
You know something? I had hitchhiked through the south on my way to Fort Lauderdale when I was in high school. But I didn't really stop to live anywhere except, you know, when I got to Fort Lauderdale. The culture shock of moving to Charlotte, North Carolina from Minneapolis in 1974, moving from a back then a $2,000 a month apartment, which was a lot of money, right?
Still is.
You know me, I was rolling big.
Yeah.
To a $9 a night room at the Orban Court. Are you kidding me? The Orban Court. $9 a night.
That's pretty impressive.
No car, nothing. The Orban Court. Then I moved over to the Coliseum Motor Inn. That was $9 a night too, but I could charge my food. Oh yeah, I've seen it all, brother.
Wow.
Hitchhiking out to the Holiday Inn to get a ride to the town that night. Oh yeah. $50.
You used to hitchhike to shows?
Hitchhike to my ride. Because I only had one car. I left from home with Leslie and Megan. So when I got down there, I didn't have another car. So I'd have to hitchhike from where I was staying and hitchhike back at night. Because the guys didn't back then. Oh, you need a ride home? I don't think so. I was lucky to get a ride to the town.
Oh, my God.
That only lasted about a month. I got that first $1,000 payoff, and I bought that Cadillac. So
there you go.
The black four-door Fleetwood, baby. Here I go. I was big-timing it.
Clay Wright, we got this question a few times. Clay Wright on Twitter wants to know, how did you and Conrad become friends? I don't think this has ever been covered.
How do we become friends? Well, the funny thing is, it's a strange meeting, but it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. We met him through a mutual friend of ours, the nature boy Paulie. That hurts me to say that, but our relationship just grew, and we've come to become best friends, and even more probably coming in the future. But mutual respect. He really loved the business, and I just liked him and his family. And you know, once we both realized that we were real, and there was no agenda, it's been hard to find a relationship any better. And I look around at my friends, and I mean, people just don't have the kind of friendship that you and I have.
Right.
I'm not saying there's not here and there, but you know, we literally talk every day, which is unusual. With people just because of time management and that, but it's an unusual but a very authentic, and you know, you like wrestling as much as I do, and you like partying as much as I do. You even though you've calmed down a little bit.
You got
a little bit of a leash on your neck now, which we'll discuss at another time.
Well, we do.
What a podcast that'll be. We'll have to do it live at the ceremony.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Say it's not so.
I know. So. I know.
Oh, God. Alabama again? Oh, my God.
Alabama's going over left and right, man.
I know.
Greg on Twitter wants to know, who is your favorite hockey team and hockey player?
My favorite hockey player of all time was Bob Probert. Passed away. God, it's been like 7 years ago. He's the toughest guy ever in the history of the NHL. You can Google Bob Probert. My favorite hockey team now, it's easy to say that, but they have been for a long time because I'm friends with the Mayor Lemieux. Is the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Well, so there you go.
But I'm going to be with my good friend Bruce MacArthur tomorrow night, who is family, the Wirtz family, owns the Blackhawks. So I'll probably, you know, end up going to a couple Hawk games.
Anthony on Twitter wants to know, what were your thoughts?
And Conrad, the Wirtz family, you can Google them, has got Conrad money.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe more.
Certainly more. It's a rib. Anthony on Twitter wants to know, what are your thoughts on the Hulkamania Australian tour from a few years ago?
Oh, God, I had a fabulous time. But as I look at the pictures of me and him, I don't know how we pulled it off. We both looked horrible. And I was in good shape, but nothing like, God, I was 62 years old. You know what I mean? It wasn't about how I felt mentally, but I just... I was a cosmetic nightmare.
Charles Robinson.
There are some pictures out there that I refuse to sign.
I've seen those.
When people bring them to autograph sessions.
Actually had a stack of those in Houston a couple of years ago, and you were like, nope, not signing those.
Not signing them, nope. Neither is Mike Tyson, neither is LT.
Charles Robinson, the WWE referee, Little Nate, has a question for us this week. Tommy Young was your go-to ref for years. What made him so great? Charles says he wants to learn and be better.
I just saw Tommy two weeks ago with you in Winston-Salem. You know what made him so great is he loved it. You know, it's not like Tommy was a rough and tumble guy, but he loved the business. He genuinely understood it. And some guys have a knack of knowing where to be, and he just always did. We worked together so much, so many long matches. But I think it's important that the fans know that the referee is a very important part of a big match, because they need to be in the right place at the right time. And if they're not, everything falls apart. And Tommy never missed a beat.
Brett on Twitter.
Very much like Charles Robbins.
Charles is one of the best, man. Great friend of the show. Brett on Twitter wants to know, if you could have one more match, who would it be against and why?
Well, there's a couple of guys I'd like to work with, but that would take me 3 months to get ready for it. I would love to wrestle Roman, Seth, or John Cena.
So there you go. Sherwood on Twitter asks, hey, did Rick ever meet Elvis in the mid-70s?
No. No, but, you know, we're brothers, so, you know, I don't know how our parents kept us apart. Both born.
Damian Darling, an independent wrestler who's a big fan of the show and tweets about the show very often, asks, do you have any breakup advice?
Breakup advice?
Yep.
Yeah, lose my number, you stupid bitch.
Oh, my gosh. I was not ready for that one. Oh, my gosh.
The hell. Breakup advice? If they screw around on you, lose my number. Yeah. I'll be looking for yours in the yellow pages.
Wow. That's a deep cut right there, kids. Ask your dad what that means. Scott on Twitter asks, do you think the Benoit head injury or performance enhancing played into his demise?
You know, I don't have a comment on that. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
A combination of things. I think he became unhappy with his position. He won that tremendous match between Shawn and him and Hunter in the Garden at WrestleMania 20. And then, you know, a week later he dropped the title. And then he eventually ended up with ECW. And I just think he was in a bad place. I don't know what happened. But I can tell you this, prior to that, he was one of the most popular guys in the locker room and liked by everybody. And he really was a hard-working, nice guy.
Randall from Lowell, Massachusetts on Twitter asks, was there ever a storyline you were pitched that you just said hell no to?
The only one I've ever said hell no to was the thing with Luger of Baltimore.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my problem. I should have said hell no a lot of times, but it wasn't worth, you know, the stress.
Lots of fun stories about this guy. Greg on Twitter asks, with all the great stories you've shared over the years, do you have any Iron Sheik stories?
Not since he was with WWE. You know, I was with him in his younger days. And then we went our separate ways. I think the best story I have about him that people enjoy is he was in the Carolina Territory, started making some money. He married a girl from Minneapolis. So he bought a Cadillac that took diesel gas. Well, he drove, his wife Carol told me this, he drove home to see her family at Christmas. It was 30 below zero. And that doesn't work on diesel gas. And the car was going 10 miles an hour. Carol said, from the time they hit Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which is 90 miles, it took them 5 hours to get to her parents' house.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the cheek was too much.
Matt Wright on Twitter.
He did tell me one time if he had my hair, if he had my hair, he would have had Elizabeth Taylor.
That's great.
I used to walk into his room. He'd be rubbing his whole body down with peanut oil. What a nut.
Oh.
Eating almonds and rubbing peanut oil on himself at 3 in the afternoon. I don't know. little different than my deal was going on.
A little bit. Matt Wright on Twitter wants to know, what was the process of picking a new NWA champion and who had input?
It was a 9-member board. When I was first got it was Vince McMahon Sr., Jim Barnett, Jim Crockett, Eddie Graham, Victor Jovica, Carlos Colon, Don Owen, Fritz Von Erich, and Dory Funk. Is that 9?
That's plenty, yeah.
Yeah, who did I leave out? Oh, Sam Bushnick. Then Geigel. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they... A lot of those guys, were their combined vote counted as one. But that was a rough draft. And they got together and decided who they wanted to give a shot to. And the only reason I ever got a shot at all was because Crockett's territory was growing so fast. They wanted to just appease him for a minute. And thank God that they did, because that got me going. I would have never been figured in, because they didn't like Jimmy. They liked his father when he died. Jimmy was just a kid that came into money. These guys had all wrestled Eddie, not Barnett, but Eddie and Bob and the Funks. And they liked Jimmy, but they didn't see him as being anybody that had anything to say about the business. So I'm thankful that Jimmy gave me the opportunity.
Here's a fun question for us. A Floyd 66 on Twitter has two good comparisons. Who partied harder, the Four Horsemen or the Freebirds?
Oh, the Freebirds.
Which tag team could drink more beer in one night, the Briscoes or the Funks?
Drink more beer in one night? Oh, shit, the Briscoes. Yeah, I'm putting all the heat on Hayes.
Good for him. He's listening. Shout out to Mr. Hayes. We appreciate your support here on the show. Nick Mills asked a question that I don't think many people have talked about. Does the WWE pay royalties for the network?
No.
Okay.
If they did, I wouldn't be doing this on this call right now. I'd be in Monte Carlo.
I love it.
Wendy and I would have moved. Because they got enough footage on me to keep me royalties forever.
Well, you know, that's going to go ahead and wrap up this week's episode of Ask Nate. If you have a question that you'd like for us to ask on the show, we're doing this segment every single week, just a question at a time. But if you've got a really great question, it could be on next week's show. So don't feel bad if you missed your opportunity this week. Just throw us a tweet right now using hashtag Ask Nate. We're on Twitter at Ric Flair Show. I am at Hey Hey, it's Conrad. And we'll be back on the other side with This Week in History. Stay tuned.
It's time for This Week in History on the Ric Flair Show.
Woo!
Brought to you by MidAtlanticGateway.com.
Dick Bourne and David Chappell are celebrating the memories of Jim Crockett Promotions every day at MidAtlanticGateway.com.
All right, Rick, This Week in History. This is a big one. We're going to kind of double up this week because this is a big week in your history. 44 years ago, on December 10th, 1972, you made your professional wrestling debut in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, against George Gadaski.
Scrap iron George Gadaski.
Carry us through the week leading up to that match, and then the night where it finally happened and you made your professional wrestling debut.
There's nothing to tell you because nobody told me anything. I went out there with no idea of what the word work meant. I could tie up. I could do an arm drag. I could take a tackle. That was it. My whole process of training, or the whole process for me and that whole group I was with, was to see if we were tough enough to be in the business. They didn't teach us anything about working. And that's the guy's honest truth.
Do you remember what you were paid for your first match?
I'm sure it was 50 bucks.
When you were finished with the match, did you feel like you, this is definitely what you wanted to do, or were you more nervous than ever?
Oh, no, I already knew it's what I wanted to do. I just didn't know at that point in time how to get there.
Right.
Because I saw these other guys doing all this stuff that I knew I could do, but didn't have an opportunity to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'd lost about 30 pounds already during that camp, so I'd gotten my weight down.
Well, let's fast forward now to December 7th, 1988. We're at the UTC Arena in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and it's Clash of the Champions 4, Seasons Beatings, and this is the first clash after Turner has bought out Crockett. There are about 8,000 folks in attendance that night, and the show draws a 4.5 with TBS. And who else is in the main event but the Nature Boy, Ric Flair? He's teaming with Barry Windham and J.J. Dillon's in their corner, and they're taking on the Midnight Express with Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane. They're, of course, represented by Jim Cornette. Talk us through your memories of this match, and while we're at it, tell us a little bit about the members of the Midnight Express and Bobby Eaton, Stan Lane, and Jim Cornette.
Well, it's funny. I just saw Bobby this past weekend. Well, Conrad?
Yeah.
Not. I mean, in Winston-Salem, did you see Bobby?
Yeah, I did. He looked good.
Yeah. Well, he's not in good health, though. He's got that congestive heart failure.
Sucks, man.
Yeah, but anyway, no better performer in the business than Bobby Eaton. Stan Lane, it just came in to take
Dennis Condrey.
Dennis just walked out one day and left. Cornette was fabulous. And my side, I was teamed with one of the greatest wrestlers in the history of our business. Barry Young was that, or Barry Windham was that good. And, of course, JJ, I can't say enough good about him. I don't remember the match. I'm sure it was good. It's just hard to put into words how good Eaton was. And Stan had become a pretty fair hand. It's just hard to, it was like taking a key component that had been together for 10 years and replaced them with somebody else. But Stan looked like a million bucks, a handsome guy. And he pulled it off. It was a great match. I'm sure, I don't remember it, but back then I didn't have a bad match.
Yeah, I mean, what a group of talent in the same ring. Ric Flair, Barry Windham, Stan Lane, Bobby Eaton, and on the outside, JJ and Cornette. It's hard to beat. You know, as fans, we hear a lot of people really put over just how talented Bobby Eaton was. Can you give us some insight as to what made him so special?
He just had impeccable timing. He didn't have to think in the ring. He just did it, kind of like myself. And there's only a few guys in the business I've let come off the top rope on top of me with that Alabama jam or a knee drop, and he never hurt me once. And it looked like a million bucks.
So there you go. Let's do voicemail of the week on the end of the
show. And Cornette was fearless.
He still is. He's,
he's a great guy.
He'll say anything. He'll do anything. He is the one and only Jim Cornette. And we've got a question that we've never asked before on the voicemail of the week. Stay tuned for more Ric Flair Show.
Now, here's this week's voicemail of the week.
Hey, Rick. Hey, Conrad. This is Super Dave calling from Mississippi. And, Champ, my question for you is, the song says that the girls all get prettier at closing time. And what I'm wanting to know, is there ever a time that at 2 you went home with a 10 and at 10 you woke up with a 2? Have you ever rolled over and looked and said, damn, I don't remember going to SeaWorld. Where'd Shamu come from? Thanks, Champ. Woo!
All right, Rick, this is something we've never talked about before. Have you ever woken up and realized you made a huge mistake?
maybe once or twice. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know where to go.
You know it's a mistake when they won't leave afterwards.
You're not gonna let me stay?
Nope, get out. Ham sandwich in the back rub it. Get it. Noel Merle Norman stand here today, sister. Hit it.
That is one of my favorite Ric Flair lines ever.
Yeah, slowly, it's not mine, but I've used it. And I won't say who used it. But that was the greatest line I ever heard in my life.
Oh, I
can't take credit for it. It was good.
You've told me who said it before, and we will enforce strict rules here on the show that we won't reveal who it was.
Please, but that's the greatest. The exact phrase was, "You believe this stupid bitch thinks she's gonna set up a Merle Norman center?" You gotta be kidding me. Ham sandwich in the background. Tell your story walking.
I love it. Let's get out of here, but catch us up. What are you doing this weekend, Nate? You're all over the place. This weekend,
I'm going to Chicago to make a, I'm making a commercial for an event I have on Memorial Day weekend. And then Friday, I'm meeting the lovely Miss Fifi back in Atlanta. And then Saturday, I'm going to Columbus, Ohio. I will be received there, I'm not sure, for a signing. And then I have an appearance at the Jaguars game on Sunday, and then I'm wrapping up for the year.
And fans can catch you in Columbus on Saturday and then on Sunday at the Jaguars game. If you need
Legends of Wrestling, yep.
There you go. So go catch the Nature Boy on tour this weekend. And as we get out of here, let's give some Twitter plugs to our friends. Of course, you need to go check out Indochino.com. Use that promo code FLAIR and get the hookup, free shipping, and more than 50% off on a custom-made suit for only $389. Follow them on Twitter, at Indochino, at Omaha Steaks. Man, what a great gift this would be this holiday season. It's not too late. You can still get your order in. Hook it up at omahasteaks.com. Of course, the show is on Twitter, at Ric Flair Show. I am at Hey Hey, It's Conrad. Our master of ceremonies is down sick this week, but at Jerome Fisher VO, we'll be back next week. A quick shout out to David and Dick over at MidAtlanticGateway.com for all of their help with this week in history. And next week, Nate, we're going
to
be back.
Another shout out to my beautiful daughter who is in Afghanistan seeing the troops. I'm so proud of her. So hope she has a safe trip. And you need to come to Atlanta, Conrad, because Wendy has built the original gingerbread house. You won't believe it.
How big is this gingerbread house?
It's 5,000 square feet. A little over 5,000. But you will not believe how she has tricked it out for Christmas.
She is
the Christmas woman.
Well, yeah, I got to check that out. I will definitely be that over in your neck of the woods on New Year's Eve. So if I haven't seen it before Christmas, I'll strut through on New Year's Eve.
You have to, okay?
Sounds good, man. I'll see you next week right here on the Ric Flair Show. Thanks for tuning in. Subscribe. Tell your friends. We'll see you next week.